Hello, folks. I'd like to welcome you to a special edition of LRIS's podcast series. You may remember that in our last First Thursday podcast, I described a case coming out of the city of Miami, Florida, that involved a very significant tension between the law surrounding civilian review boards and the law that arises out of a peace officer's Bill of Rights. I'm thrilled today to have as a guest on this special interview series of our podcast, Rob Bushell, who's the attorney who handled the case for the lieutenant who was involved. Rob, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
And Rob, let's start off a little bit. Just tell us about your representation of law enforcement officers, how you got into that, and how it's evolved over time.
Well, I started off my legal career as an assistant public defender, so I was really on the other side for a while. And then a mutual friend of ours, Michael Coviella, who now represents the National Fraternal Order of Police, talked to me about representation of some local FOP lodges in South Florida. And it sounded like interesting work, and I got involved, and ever since then it's kind of expanded, and they take us to some interesting arbitrations and courtrooms all over the state.
It is a career that never fails to surprise, is it?
No. Police work, just the same reason we like watching the movies and the TV shows, is the same reasons we like to be involved in the legal issues. They're always action-packed and raise some fascinating issues about rights for everybody.
It's also one of the few areas I've experienced in my career where there's the opportunity to be creative as a lawyer. You find that as well?
I do, because you can find some area, a new statute, or there's some new interpretation where one district court of appeal disagrees with another, and lots of other different arenas, the Public Employees Relations Commission, arbitration, civil lawsuit, criminal courts, and appellate courts. You're everywhere if you're doing this type of work.
And one of the places you might be is Miami Civilian Review Board. How long has it been around?
Indeed. That panel has been around since 2002 in one form or another.
If you were to read the ordinance that creates the panel, how would you describe the authority of this review board?
Well, before this Supreme Court decision, I would say it was quite comprehensive and broad. The number one thing it had was subpoena power. It has a $700,000 budget from the city of Miami to hire investigators, to have a full-time staff, to have lawyers, and to do their investigations. They have the ability. They had the ability to subpoena witnesses, civilians, and officers alike. And it's just a whole other body of investigation. So after a criminal investigation, civil lawsuit, internal affairs / administrative inquiry in the city of Miami, there's a civilian investigative panel with a bunch of civilians on it waiting to tell you, the police officer, what their view of your conduct was in a particular, any situation, from a minor complaint to a critical incident where the officer had to shoot and kill someone.
Interesting. So our civilian review boards around the country have gradations of power. It's probably on a continuum somewhere. Miami sounds like it's up at the top end of at least the authority that the city wanted it to have.
Yes, and they have the power to consult with the state attorney. They have their own attorney, and there are requirements in the ordinance to have the chief of police respond in writing to its recommendations regarding particular outcomes of their investigations.
Interesting. Well, now let's turn to a March 4th, years ago, and Lieutenant Freddie D'Agostino and his traffic stop. What happened?
This seems to be some type of wild, almost road rage type incident. Lieutenant D'Agostino and another officer were driving back from the county just north of Miami, Broward County, best known for the Fort Lauderdale as the county seat. And they were driving back on I-95, and what was an assistant state attorney also from Broward going home to her home in Miami-Dade got into a little road pattern incident, if you will, where she contended that she was sandwiched in between the two officers' cars and that they were harassing her with their driving pattern.
Wait a minute.
Lieutenant Daggis.
Are you telling me that an attorney got crosswise with a couple of police officers?
A prosecutor, no less.
Oh, goodness gracious.
So,
okay, go ahead.
Yes. So it turned into a traffic stop where Lieutenant D'Agostino stopped her and wrote her a ticket. She did not like the fact that she got the ticket, so she complained to Internal Affairs saying that he was rude. And that, in fact, his driving pattern was the violator of the roads and highways of South Florida, and he should be disciplined for that conduct. After Internal Affairs said, good grief, we can't figure out, we can't decide, it is unfounded or inconclusive, the complaint went on to the Civilian Investigative Panel of Miami.
So the department itself decided there wasn't a factual basis to discipline Lieutenant D'Agostino at all, right?
Correct.
And then she has the appeal right into the, is it Civilian Investigation Panel, Citizen Investigation?
It is, yeah, okay. The Civilian Investigative Panel, yes.
Okay, I may lapse and refer to that as the review board. By the way, you use the past tense in describing her as a state attorney.
I believe she has gone on to private practice. Yeah. Remember, this happened many, by the time this wound its way up in the Florida Supreme Court in June of 2017, this occurred many years ago. I want to say 2009.
Oh, my goodness.
This case was pending at the mid-level appellate court, the Third District Court of Appeal, for years. There was a motion for rehearing that was just sitting on the desks of the appellate judges for 3 years. So as time went on, I suppose this young lady moved on to the private sector.
Yeah, so frustrating when that sort of thing happens. Well,
yes.
So she appeals into CIP. What happens then?
Well, they decide, well, we're going to subpoena the officer, Lieutenant D'Agostino, and let's hear what he has to say. And Lieutenant D'Agostino said, I've had enough, and according to our collective bargaining agreement with the city of Miami, I don't have to appear. And so he filed a lawsuit, and the lawsuit said, I want a protective order. I don't want to have to appear in front of the Civilian Investigative Panel. And then at some point, the union itself, the Fraternal Order of Police, moved to quash the subpoena and said, we don't believe the Civilian Investigative Panel has the power to subpoena officers based upon the Law Enforcement Officer Bill of Rights in Florida, which is found in Section 112.532.
Now, when we have these cases on appeal, and this one ends up at the Florida Supreme Court, when we have these cases on appeal, we always have to write something that's usually called a statement of the issue, the fundamental decision that the court has to make in the case. What
yes.
was that question in Lieutenant D'Agostino's case?
The question was, at the Supreme Court level, was whether the Police Officer Bill of Rights constitutionally preempts the Civilian Investigative Panel's attempt to subpoena the officer. So there are certain rights that outline when and how police officers should be investigated by Internal Affairs within the police department. And once that's over, is that the only way that police officers should be investigated where they can be disciplined? And the Supreme Court said yes, that this subpoena power that the investigative panel got from the city of Miami's ordinance is unconstitutional because the state law giving them the rights, their Bill of Rights, is superior to any city ordinance that empowers the investigative panel to investigate by issuing subpoenas to police officers.
Was that basic principle about the relationship between the Bill of Rights and local ordinances, was that well established, or is the court striking out here and making new law?
Well, it's making new law in one very important sense. The number one way to get judicial review from the Supreme Court in Florida, and I gather in many other Supreme Courts in our country, is that there's a conflict in the District Courts of Appeal. So the District Court of Appeal in the 5th District, which was in the Orlando area, had that ruling that said that the review board in Orlando could not review the sheriff's office actions, and the sheriff didn't have to play ball with any civilian review panel. But Miami is in the 3rd District Court of Appeal, and it ruled the opposite. It said, no, the civilian investigative panel can exist, and does have the subpoena power. That's when Lieutenant D'Agostino and the union said, wait a second, let's see if the Supreme Court of Florida is willing to hear this case because of the direct conflict in the districts. And it did.
I'm not sure all of our listeners know this, but Supreme Courts typically, over almost all types of cases, have what's known as discretionary review, where they can either choose to hear a case or not hear a case. I assume that's true of the Florida Supreme Court, correct?
It is. In fact, we have to write a brief petitioning for review before we even have a discussion on the merits. And in the petition phase, requesting jurisdiction, we are trying to make the issue involved as sexy as possible so that the justices of the Supreme Court become interested and first accept that there is a conflict and that that conflict would be unfair. Why should officers in the 5th District have the benefit of that ruling, but officers in the 3rd District not have the benefit of the Police Officer Bill of Rights?
So in the case in the Supreme Court ends up saying that the Bill of Rights is paramount, and it preempts, if you will. It is superior to the city of Miami's ability to do anything that is inconsistent with the Bill of Rights. What was the rationale for the court? Why?
It is really technical, and if you're into constitutional analysis, this case will give you lots to think about, because they said that the Police Officer Bill of Rights did not expressly preempt the subpoena power of the civilian investigative panel. However, it impliedly preempted the subpoena power of the investigative panel. Now, the effect of that is not that important to the police officers in the city of Miami, because the end result is they do not have to appear or honor subpoenas from the investigative panel. But from a constitutional analysis, basically they're saying the statute did not expressly say no subpoena power to civilian investigative panel, but the rights that are afforded to the police officers under administrative investigation are so overwhelming and occupy the field of administrative investigations of police officers that a civilian investigative panel cannot coexist. And so since the field was occupied sufficiently enough, the court concluded this is an implied preemption. And they actually gave some notes to the legislature in Florida and said, please be clear in the future if you want to create more rights for police officers, or in general, just be more specific so we can make a clearer analysis of express preemption. Courts do that from time to time.
Wait a minute. I've seen how some laws get created in Florida, particularly in the last few years. What are the chances the legislature is going to listen to the Supreme Court on that?
Florida and legislature and the Supreme Court seem to have a back and forth tennis match regarding their various responsibilities and powers. I think perhaps the Florida legislature would appreciate that their law was upheld. I think they did mean to afford these rights. And I'm sure they'll give the Supreme Court its due when they review this opinion.
You're a lot more diplomatic than I am, Rob. I was particularly struck when reading this case with how the court's opinion ended. I get to read a lot of opinions involving public safety employees and their rights, and many of them are quite prosaic, quite technical, and they're not really what I would think of as broad expressions of policy. But the Supreme Court's opinion in D'Agostino, I think, ends with a bang. Tell us about that.
Well, I think they're basically saying that they're not making any commentary on policy in general, whether civilian investigative panels are useful or not useful. I think they recognize that it's of national concern, even though the investigative panel itself tried to downplay it in order to have the court not be as interested in it. It is a national issue. The NAACP wrote a friend of the court brief, as well as the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, also advocated for the importance of the civilian investigative panel. So how police officers interact with its citizens is a national topic. I think this court did go out of its way to say, we are just interpreting statute and interpreting the ordinance, and can the two coexist, without trying to dive into the big issue of whether the policy reasons behind it, and that's the importance. The rule of law prevailed because it just focused on the language of the law rather than, well, is this a good idea, and maybe we should give a panel greater power or lesser power based upon our feelings about them, the political reasons. And that's why I was happy with the court's opinion. They stayed out of that.
I was struck by a passage in the court's opinion where it asks the hypothetical question, could a local governmental body simply create entity after entity after entity with the ability to subpoena police officers?
Sure. So I'm sure that many communities like Miami, you have the city of Miami, and then you have Miami-Dade County, and then you can almost even have regional districts as well. They certainly have it for water districts here. And the majority opinion mused about that and said, well, okay, so the city of Miami created an investigative panel. What prevents the county from coming up with an investigative panel and requiring an officer to appear in front of there? And what happens if they, it was big in oral argument. What happens if the two panels disagreed? What is the chief of police meant to do with all these different rulings? And, of course, there has to be the issue of finality. When is everything put to bed, and when does the officer get to move on without having a matter hanging over his head for years?
Well, Rob, I'm going to let you go in a minute. But before we do, we've been talking about your day job. I want to talk about your night job. Because you are really, no kidding, the only person I've spoken to who has a book on Amazon.com with nothing but 5-star ratings. Tell me about By Silent Majority.
Yes, well, thank you. By Silent Majority is my first novel. It was exciting to write, and it was published last summer. It is a political thriller. It is about a very popular president of the United States, and he does good things for the country. But then a crisis emerges, and he is posed with whether he should do the right thing and level truthfully with the American people, or try to distract and lie and in order to be reelected. And it kind of lays nicely against the political backdrop of what's going on in 2017 and the crazy daily news cycles of present-day political life. But I'll put my political thriller up against today's action in the New York Times and other news outlets.
Let me ask you a process question. You've got, obviously, a very busy career as an attorney. When do you find time to write? Are you one of those authors who gets up an hour early and will write 1,000 words, or how do you fit it in?
I do it in the morning. I wake up, and you know, now that computers can be at home and almost in every room in the home, you can do it in the morning and in the evenings. I just find that if you watch less television, you probably can get more writing time in as well. And if it's not writing, as a lawyer, if you just if you turn off the television and focus on something else, you can get a lot accomplished during those times when you're in between one legal project or the next.
Well, great. Congratulations on the book. I know what work those things take. And really, congratulations on
Thank you so much. Big
win in the Florida Supreme Court.
Thank you.
And Rob, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Folks, that was Rob Bushell, an attorney in South Florida, who, as I mentioned, or as we discussed, handled one of what I think of as maybe the most important Peace Officer Bill of Rights cases decided in this country ever. If you are in a state, one of the 17 that has law enforcement officer or firefighter bills of rights, you better be having your attorneys read this case. Until our next podcast, this is Will Aitchison signing off.